Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Abdulrahman Taleb Ali. He is the Deputy General Manager of Sustainable Logistics Services, SLS, based in Amman, Jordan. First and foremost, Abed, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much, Bo. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I think this is my second interview with you, probably in the past three, 4 years. Always a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure to meet your broad audience, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you, and the same goes for me. I will also repeat what I normally do. I always allow my interviewees to elaborate a little bit about their background. How come that you got into shipping in the first place? Why are you not working in a bank or sitting in an accountancy firm? Why are you in logistics and shipping?
Well, it's let me tell you this. Usually when you graduate, you don't choose your career, not at least not in our part of the world. You know, you have to find a job.
Yes.
The only job that I found at that time is through a friend of my father's, who asked me to join the company. And I'll tell you a funny story here is that the company had two branches, actually. One involved in automotive and one involved in the shipping and logistics.
Right.
Because they're also brand agents for several automotive brands. And, you know, just like any other young kid, I was so fascinated about the cars and I wanted to get into the automotive industry. And the owner was like, no, I suggest that you go to the shipping industry. And I'm like, no, but I really like cars. Like, no. You want to succeed? You want to be a star? You go to shipping and logistics. Cars, it's so standard. Everybody knows about what to do. You're only going to sell cars and that's it.
Yeah.
So go to shipping. And it was a very good choice.
Your father was a smart man. I can tell you, I share a little bit the same. I also got into shipping. I wanted to be a journalist, but he said, no, go into shipping. So so it seems to me we share the same luck. So that's very good to hear. What can you tell our viewers about SLS, Sustainable Logistics Services? Tell us about the background of the company and what you do.
Now, Sustainable Logistics Services is basically a full logistics freight forwarding and even liner company based in Amman, Jordan.
Yeah.
It branched out of our original group of companies, Gargour group of companies.
Yeah.
And the reason we created Sustainable Logistics Services is that we wanted to expand in the freight forwarding and project cargo business.
Right.
We were unable to do that under our previous name because of the fact that we were representing several shipping lines, and this contradicted our business as a freight forwarder.
Right.
So what we decided to do is open our separate entity that is in compliance with the local regulations and ensures that there's no conflict of interest between what we do as liner agents and what we do as freight forwarding and project logistics. That's one reason. The other reason is that, as I mentioned earlier, because of the fact that our group of companies, they represent many automotive brands. There's a lot of logistics work involved in that kind of business, and they did not have their own logistics department. What Sustainable Logistics Services is doing right now is taking over the entire logistics supply chain of the automotive industry, automotive companies that we represent, whether it's in the actual shipping of the cars, the vehicles, or even the spare parts, and anything that's associated with the automotive brands that we represent. I'll give you a very, very important example. When the at the beginning of the Red Sea crisis, that's when all the Ro-Ro carriers stopped calling Aqaba because they stopped transiting the Suez Canal and the Red Sea.
Right.
Now, what the Ro-Ro carriers decided to do is to drop all the cargo in Jebel Ali. And then that was their final destination. And all the automotive agents in the Middle East had to bring their cars from Jebel Ali port, whether by inland or by another Ro-Ro carrier or whatever. So the only option that we had as a brand distributor in Jordan is we were only able to bring the car from Jebel Ali to Jordan by land transport. That's where Sustainable Logistics Services intervened. And they did the entire logistics work. That includes the change of documentation, the customs clearance at the borders, the inland transportation. And it appeared to be a very wise decision that we created that company because it basically saved our inventory in Jordan. And we were able to bring all the cars back to the market without any issues. Of course, at a higher price, which is, I mean, it's logical when you have extra additional logistics
Sure.
costs involved, but at least we were able to ensure that our customers are always kept happy with the vehicles.
It sounds like you really made a good decision there, because not only do you service your own companies, you're also free from the constraints of the liner agency, as you say. So you have a very clear, let's say, border between your liner agency and the forwarding. So the forwarding is totally independent, and you service your group, but you also serve other forwarders worldwide, right?
Yes, correct. And it's very important to ensure that we're fully compliant with what you just mentioned, because at the end of the day, compliance these days is very important to all, even your customers.
Yes.
Now, even the vendors that we work with, or the customers, the clients, that's the first question that they always ask about compliance, ensure that there's no any conflict of interest. So yes, it's very important that we did that,
Yeah.
especially that now it's a totally separate legal entity. With both offices in Amman and Aqaba, it's got
Okay.
a totally separate team that are not involved in any of the other companies. And it's also an opportunity for the company to expand. It
Yes.
started with a couple of employees. Now we're almost seven people. So
Wow.
it gives you the feeling that it's a growing business.
Yes. That's
And it's
very.
always interesting to start something from scratch, you know.
Yeah.
You feel that it's your own achievement, you know.
Yes. No. It's that's why I married several times. I start from scratch. I should not repeat that, because that was expensive, I can say. But what can you tell our viewers a little bit about Jordan? I mean, the main port is, of course, Aqaba, right? I mean, that's your
Correct.
main.
Aqaba is the main port and the only port, of course.
Yeah, I see.
And Aqaba port in general consists of almost 12 terminals.
Okay.
We've got the main one is the Aqaba Container Terminal,
Okay.
which is managed by and operated by APM Terminals.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've got other several terminals like the Industrial Terminal, the Phosphate Terminal, because Jordan is very famous in fertilizer exports, phosphates, potash,
Yes.
and potassium nitrate, and that kind of fertilizers.
Yeah.
We've also got the Multipurpose Terminal, which
Oh.
is basically the general cargo port for the Roro and general cargo. And most recently, they signed a management and operation agreement with Abu Dhabi Ports,
Oh, yeah.
which will start in August of this year. We've also got a dedicated cruise terminal, and we've also have an oil terminal that's also out for bidding for management and operation. So
Okay.
there's like almost 12 terminals. Mostly are privately managed and operated through concession agreements with the authorities in Aqaba.
Okay.
But what's interesting about the Aqaba Container Terminal, let me focus on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Last year was a record year for the terminal. They reached 1 million TEUs
Oh, wow.
of handling, which is the first time ever in the terminal history. And it's quite ironic that this happens right during the Red Sea crisis, because it shows how resilient Aqaba Port is.
Yeah.
We were able to overcome the challenges that started with the Red Sea. I mean, right at the beginning of the crisis, the volumes just significantly dropped, almost exceeding 60%.
Yeah.
But then a lot of feeder ships started coming into the port, as well as NVOCCs. And now we've got several new shipping lines who are even calling Aqaba Port. We
Okay.
used to be almost 12 to 13 shipping lines calling the terminal.
Yeah.
Now they're almost 26 to 27.
Okay, that's very impressive, yeah.
So this just shows that the crisis that happened in the Red Sea, and still ongoing, by the way, it
Yeah.
hasn't been resolved yet, it opened a door of opportunities for several shipping lines to come into Aqaba.
Yeah.
And Aqaba has gained so much momentum from that. A lot of exports, imports, and handling And we've got several record months of handling during last year.
Okay.
And then in November, we reached 1 million TEUs, which was like a milestone for the terminal.
That's very impressive. I have a practical question. When I look at the map behind you, I look at Jordan there, and I see, of course, you're bordering to Saudi Arabia. Can you make a transshipment via the port of Aqaba as well? I mean, for example, the port of Neom in Saudi is quite close, I believe. Do you actually do transshipment into Saudi from Aqaba, or would people go direct into Saudi normally?
You mean transshipment by sea, by
Yeah,
ship?
or whatever. I don't know the distance from Aqaba to Neom, for example, but I'm just exploring opportunities here.
No, Jordan has always been a transit country for the neighboring countries like
Okay.
Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and so on. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Now, in last year in particular, the container terminal tried to promote Aqaba port as a transshipment port.
Right.
But, as you know, in shipping, there's a lot of factors that contribute to the success of a transshipment port or not. And
Correct.
it's not always something that you can control. Sometimes geography is just overcomes all the your efforts to try and make it a
Yeah,
transshipment port.
that's right.
Especially that Aqaba port has always been historically a destination port. There's a diversion, as you can see in the map. The
Yes.
ship has to divert from the Red Sea into the Gulf of Aqaba,
Yeah.
which makes it a little bit challenging for transshipment port,
Yeah.
even though the terminal has offered a lot of incentives to try to gear up this transshipment thing. But, however, on the other side, we've already been successful with being a transit country to the neighboring countries.
Okay.
So, yes, we can do a lot of transit business from Aqaba to Neom, of course, the potential is coming.
Yeah.
I think they made a successful transit shipment from Egypt.
Okay.
So there's no problem working the same thing from Aqaba. I think some construction material was already transiting from Aqaba to Neom.
Okay.
We already do transit shipments from Jordan to south of Saudi Arabia, Tabuk
Okay.
in
Okay.
particular. Jordan has historically been the transit gateway to Iraq
Yeah.
for a long time. And now it's being the transit gateway to Syria as well, especially after the removal of the sanctions.
Ah, yeah.
So a lot of the volume that has contributed to the 1 million TEUs in Aqaba container terminal owes to the fact that there's a lot of transit cargo coming from the Far East to Syria.
That's very
Syrians have been
interesting.
historically relying on Jordanian customs agents to
Ah.
do their transport and logistics from Aqaba port into Syria. That's number
Okay.
one. Number two, there's a lot of family ties between Syrians and Jordanians,
Ah.
especially at the northern border of Jordan.
Right. This is that's why it's so important to have a talk with you, because a lot of people sitting outside, sitting in Asia, they wouldn't know this. They wouldn't think, oh, Jordan, oh, we can't how to do this. And now you say that it's very possible, and a lot of your turnover actually goes further on from Jordan. That's very interesting. Yeah.
Yes, and Syrians prepare, until the time that their ports are now they've signed concession agreements in Syria with DP World and with CMA as well to develop the terminals in Tartus and in Latakia. But of course, this takes time. And
Yeah.
it's more convenient for Syrian importers to bring cargo from Far East into Aqaba and then transport it to Syria than to do it through Syrian ports. Now, historically, again, any cargo coming from Europe was easier to be shipped to Syrian ports than to Aqaba port because of the distance between European ports and the Mediterranean port.
Right.
On the other side, Far East origins, easier to bring into Aqaba and then move it to Syria than to bring it all the way into the Mediterranean.
Yeah, it makes sense. And SLS, your company, Sustainable Logistics Services, are involved in all kinds. That means a customer or agent in Shanghai who needs something to Syria, you can arrange it for him via Aqaba. I mean, you can do it all the way to door, right?
Definitely, and we used to have an office in Syria that was deactivated after when the war started and the sanctions
Yes.
begun. Now we're looking to reactivate that office
Okay.
because of the promising opportunities that are going to develop into Syria. We are already getting so many inquiries for cargo coming into Syria, or even for ships wanting to call Syrian ports and want some Jordanian partners to join them in handling those kind of shipments. So yes, the opportunities are there. Syria is a new market. It's a huge market. Yeah. It's a developing market. They need every single thing you can think of.
Yeah.
They're building everything from scratch.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the amount of cargo they would require in the coming 5 to 10 years.
Certainly. I think you are certainly in the right position. And with your reorganization and the establishment of LSS, again, excellent timing. What can you tell me about, if you look into the crystal ball a little bit for 2026, the area you are in, it is, of course, a volatile area, as we know, with the recent yeah. conflicts and so. How do you see the future for you now and this year? Do you see it with confidence?
Now, to be honest, I don't think the crystal ball is working anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
it's not working anymore. And you can see the developments in the beginning of January and February to understand that it's really becoming very unpredictable. Even the shipping lines are unable to plan their networks properly.
Yeah.
We've seen some promising signs of Maersk and Hapag-Lloyd trying to resume the Red Sea transits beginning of February. But to be honest, just a couple of minutes ago, I was reading a news article about how Maersk right now, with one of their announced vessels that was supposed to transit the Red Sea, now it's going around the Cape of Good Hope again.
Yeah.
So that kind of unpredictability, and it's not allowing you to make, let's say, optimistic,
no.
let's say, forecasts for the sea. However, I don't believe that the world let's call it the world trade order is happy about what's going on.
No.
Everybody's waiting, let's say, for things to calm down.
Yeah.
Today there are very vital negotiations in Geneva between the US and Iran. So
yeah.
we will find out exactly what's going to happen. I think that's the major issue right now, is what's going to happen in Iran and that surrounding area.
Yeah.
Strait of Hormuz and all that. Once that settles down, I think the region would be, I mean, probably not long term, I'm not sure, but at least they would settle down for a couple of years where you can actually enjoy some, let's say, prosperity and more.
Yeah.
For the shipping situation, I believe that the rates are going down if the transits to Red Sea continue, or even more shipping lines follow the path of Maersk and Hapag-Lloyd and decide to come back to the Red Sea. We're seeing a lot of capacity in the market, so rates are expected to go down. Yet again, I cannot be very optimistic or pessimistic. I'll tell you a very funny story. Last year, we had we were expecting a very weak year because of the situation around us. It appeared to be a very good year. Even the terminal was doing very well, and
yes.
Everybody was doing a lot of exports.
Yes.
And this was against all odds, because
yeah.
Well, everything in your hands was giving you the other side of the story. That didn't make sense, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I mean,
year, when we started doing the forecasting, and everybody asking the same question that you did, I was like, you know what? I'm very worried about giving you my own expectations, because we saw what happened last year. Huh?
Yeah.
It's very unpredictable. But again, I think everybody's sick of what's happening. Everyone wants to make some business.
Yeah,
everyone wants to settle down. The entire region wants to settle down. So it looks promising, let's say, hopefully, after we hear some good news today.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. It's strange to think that one man's crisis is another man's income, you know. Same with the corona. I think the ship owners never earned as much money as they did during that time. So let's
and Bo, especially for Aqaba. Aqaba is a closed region. We have no alternative ports.
Right.
This is our only port.
Right.
So even if you, let's say, if you study it, on a piece of paper, it doesn't make sense.
No, no.
Because when the Red Sea crisis started, everybody thought it was okay. The only port in the region, in the Red Sea region, that doesn't have any alternatives is Aqaba. Because, you know, in Saudi, there's alternatives in Dammam, the eastern side.
Sure.
In Egypt, there's alternatives in Alexandria, Mediterranean side.
Yes.
But for children, there is no alternative.
Only one, yeah.
So at the end of the day, to become one of the most highest handling ports in the region and to reach a 100, 1 million TEUs in such a crisis, I mean, even the terminal manager, I was discussing with him the subject a couple of months ago, and he said it was very shocking how Jordan proves to be resilient, even more resilient every year,
Yeah.
and nobody knows how, you know?
It's I can only say it seems to me that you have good management and you have some hardworking people there, and maybe you will cement your position as in a crisis the only reliable one, you know, that you are still you're still developing even there's a crisis around you. So
Correct. I totally agree with that. You're right.
Oh, very good. So one of the final questions here regarding SLS. So basically, you can do anything related to forwarding. You can do air, you can do project, you can do normal forwarding as such, all activities, correct?
Correct, yes. And we do not own assets. We usually partner with third-party vendors.
Yes.
Because of our historic presence in the market, we've got some very good relationships with the third-party vendors.
Of course.
One of the reasons why we do not own assets is because as an automotive company, we sell trucks to those vendors of ours. So it
Of
doesn't
course.
really make sense commercially to
Sure.
compete with the people you sell trucks to.
No, no,
But
that's
we do get preferable rates
Yes.
and services, which helps us overcome any challenges in any kind of business that we
Yes,
provide.
yes. And I suppose the region that you live in, as in most parts of the world nowadays, as we say, is not what you know, is who you know. And I'm sure you and your company are well
Well,
connected
believe me,
everywhere.
it's becoming like this everywhere in the world, not only in our region.
Yeah, no. The same here in Chile where I'm sitting. If you want something done, you have to kind of know the guy. It's not enough to pay the bill. You have to know him too. So
Correct.
very good, Abbott. No, I want to say really it's been a pleasure. I want to thank you very much for giving this introduction to our viewers around the world. Many thanks, Abbott.
Thank you very much, Bo. Always a pleasure, and I look forward to the next one, of course.
Same. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been the Deputy Manager of Sustainable Logistics Services, SLS, based in Amman, Jordan, Mr. Abdul Rahman Taleb Ali. He is a good friend and also a good contact in the Middle East region. And if you have any problems with shipment to and from Jordan or transshipment, even to Syria and other countries via Jordan, do contact to Abbott here, who is most capable and can help you. From me in Project Cargo Weekly, thank you very much, and I see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.